Listen to Alan for Breakfast wherever you are. Download the Triple M app now.
Hey, Alan here, and welcome to the first catch-up of 2019. A big show today. Plenty to talk about, including a little bit of the live exporting controversy. We also did a bit of giveaways at the Summer Brew. Had a couple of winners there. Grant Henley, the Mayor of Busselton, was on the show. He was great. Also had Aaron from Veranda, a great band that's going to be heading to the Chef's Long Table lunch. Barry Urquhart and I had a chat all about the Gillette ad campaign. It's been a bit controversial. A few little gags in there as well. I'll let you hear. Enjoy the catch up. I am back. Despite messing that last bit up, everything has been going pretty smoothly so far. But I'm excited because I've got a massive announcement for you. So let's get into that.
Please welcome.
Hello, this is Mick Fleetwood.
Hi, this is Lindsay Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac.
We've been selecting a whole load of really emotively connected songs to the audience.
I have spectacular memories of Australia. I always tell everybody that. It's a wonderful country.
To me, Fleetwood Mac, the chemistry and the joining of those people is immediately you turn around and go, that's what this is about.
Well, yep, here's the news for you. Fleetwood Mac are set to do an Australian tour, including a Perth date, August 9th. They're going to be kicking off their tour. They're going to be in the country for about a month. Tons of dates, but the one that you care about most, August 9th in Perth. Get along to it. Fleetwood Mac are coming back. It's going to be Mick Fleetwood in the lineup, John McVie, Stevie Nicks, Christine McVie, as well as, of course, those brand newcomers, Mike Campbell and Neil Finn. How exciting is that? Fleetwood Mac are set to return to Australia and, more importantly, Perth Arena. For more information, best place to go to is either their website, fleetwoodmac.com, or livenation.com.au. But RAC Arena, Friday, August 9th, Fleetwood Mac. Going to be huge. Grant Henley joins me now, the Mayor of Busselton. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good morning, Alan, and welcome back, and Happy New Year.
Yeah, you too, mate. And geez, Busselton has just been so busy. I saw a photo last night. The streets were packed with people.
Yeah, Petticoat Lane, part of the annual Festival of Busselton that runs in January, was very well attended. A lot of spin-off for all the businesses that stayed open last night, and all the bars and restaurants were doing a roaring trade as well. So, yeah, it was a fantastic night out, and the weather was really kind to us, and a big crowd.
Yeah, I imagine the weather's actually been pretty good this year for tourism.
Yeah, it has. It certainly has. I think the last few days, like everywhere, we've copped that bit of a sou'wester in the evening, which cools it down a bit, which is nice when it gets really hot. But and we're looking at a pretty warm weekend this weekend for the end of the festival, or the wind up of the festival, with our concert and fireworks on Saturday night.
Yeah, Todd Johnson's going to be there as well.
Yeah, the old rocker. Yeah. So banging out some tunes, something in there for the whole family, and then the fireworks show at the end of that, in and around the jetty. So always a great night out, and urge everyone to get down there and support the festival.
Have to see if he does anything from V Capri days. Cruise ship wise, you guys are going to be flat out in regards to that.
Yeah, we've had quite a few cruise ship visitations over summer, some repeat visitors, and excitingly, we've got three maiden visits coming up in February, including the majestic Queen Elizabeth, which will be lovely to see her grace Geograph Bay.
Yeah.
And then a couple of other first-timers as well as repeat. So something like 18 cruise ship visits, I think, over the summer season. So, yeah, really exciting for our tourism.
I saw that when a new cruise ship comes to town, you go on the ship and present them with a plaque. Have you ever thought about just trying to, like, sneak into one of the cabins and see if you can stow away for a couple of days, you know?
No, I haven't. I'm quite happy to head back into Busselton, but it's lovely to see the cruise ships and to go out there and present them a memento. We also give them a bit of a book to put in the ship's library so people can have a look at Busselton and the district and have a look at what's coming up when they come to visit.
Oh, that's really, really good, yeah. Margaret River Pro this year is going to be rocking more than usual, which is very cool.
Yeah, so the drop concert, which follows around the World Surfing League events around Australia, is going to be held in Barnard Park in Busselton on the Joondalong weekend. coinciding with our Jazz by the Bay event. So it'll be a fantastic event for all ages of musical appreciation.
100%. Angus and Julia Stone isn't a small act either, so it's going to be a really good gig.
Yeah, my daughters are pretty excited. I can't say that I know too many of their songs.
I'm sure you'll enjoy it. You won't know the words, but you'll sit there and tap your foot at least.
Rock along.
That's all you can do. Mate, thank you so much for the chat today, and looking forward to keeping it going for 2019, mate.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure. Thanks, Alan.
Grant Henley there, the mayor of Busselton, and make sure you get along to it. The Festival Busselton this weekend, it keeps going on. So many things going on. Just look at the website for more information.
Colonial Brewery Co. and Triple M Summer Brew. Drinking responsibly.
I got Rebecca on the line to potentially win a 3-pack of our Summer Brew. You heard about us creating this last year. I assume between now, well, since you heard about that and now, you've been craving it, right, Rebecca?
Absolutely.
It's the popular beer of the summer. What can you do? Of course. I need you to tell me, what is the most liked thing on Instagram? What was the object that managed to get the rain and take it away from a Jenna Kardashian thing?
It was an egg.
Correct. It was an egg, and I couldn't be happier. It makes me, in fact, I love it. It's the best news I heard all last week. So really, really good stuff. And the best news you're getting today is that, unless you win the Powerball tonight, you are going to be getting a 3-pack of Triple M Summer Brew. Massive shout out, of course, to Colonial for making it all happen. But well done to you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Rebecca. We're going to be doing it tomorrow as well, a couple of chances to win it, and also all throughout the workday today. So make sure you keep it locked right here on Triple M. Of course, Colonial Brewing Co. and Triple M Summer Brew only on Triple M. It's the only place that you can get it. Can't buy it in stores, despite the fact that you might have seen some photos of it all around the world right now. The only place you can get it is right here on Triple M Southwest. In case you've been living under a rock, I'm sure that you're aware, Powerball tonight is climbing, and now it's at a grand total of
$100 billion.
You're not quite $100 million, Bart, which is obviously nothing to laugh at. I was looking at the West, and they had a story about the luckiest news agency in WA. Turns out it's in Belmont in Perth. I don't know about you, but I always feel luckier leaving Belmont than I ever have walking into it. But in saying that, we've had a bit of luck down here in the Southwest, and I'm sure that it could go our way tonight. It's very popular. I never buy lotto tickets, but I will admit I even bought one for this one. Come on, $100 million, come my way. I'll be generous. I'll even share it with all you right now if I get it. Like, not share a lot of it, maybe just a cheeky mill, just peel off a mill from it. But still, you'd do anything for those numbers, wouldn't you? The only numbers that I think are probably more wanted right now than the Powerball numbers would probably be Clive Palmer's number after he texted everyone today and yesterday. If you haven't seen it yet on our Facebook page, Triple M Southwest, have a look. These messages have been going crazy and everyone's got something to say on the Facebook page. Check it out for sure. But Powerball tonight, $100 million. Well, that is 10cc, the things we do for love here on Triple M Southwest. Alan for breakfast, thanks to Martin Burns Bedroom Furnishings. And this is a big story, the West Australian reporting on this one. Fake news is the headline. Very, very good. You might remember this from last year, the whole debate going on with the live exporting of sheep. The whole reason why that even blew up to the point where it did was because someone filmed some footage and released it. Now, this is a very interesting story because it appears the person that filmed it has a little bit of a dark past. Supposedly and allegedly, I've got to be careful the way I say this, the person had actually been convicted for hurting animals. On top of all that, supposedly, allegedly, once again, to be careful, he got paid to film it, which some people are suspecting that maybe he might have cut off the AC, made it a little bit more uncomfortable for the animals to get that better footage. This is very, very interesting. The story is obviously coming from journalists, not the ABC side of things. So the story, if you're trying to look for it, is one of those, like, you've got to either buy the paper or you've got to pay for a subscription. But I got a feeling this is going to be big news towards the end of the week. But yeah, watch that story. Very, very interesting, especially if it comes out all being true that the person was paid to film the footage, because then that just kind of corrupts it all, doesn't it? It's no longer about morals. It's about someone trying to make a profit. And then you get to question exactly how legitimate the footage even was. So that is the latest in regards to that. Mr. Barry Urquhart joins me now, the Managing Director at Marketing Focus. Good morning, mate.
Good morning and Happy New Year to you, Alan, and all your listeners.
Yeah, 100%. Now, Gillette, let's talk about it. They released an ad. It's a big ad. It's a long ad. And it's all about men being men, going back to changing the way that we view ourselves as men. It kind of just coincides with the whole Me Too movement at the moment. You've obviously seen the ad. What's your thoughts?
Look, I think it's very dangerous for anyone in marketing to sit in judgment and espouse values that aren't necessarily that of the community. You're exposing yourself to a lot of responses on social media. I think that as a consultant, I would always say, this is what you need, but this is what you want. I think you should, you know, you need that and should buy it, but if that's what you want to buy, that's it. So I did never sit in value judgment. Now, unfortunately, Gillette, which is owned by Procter & Gamble, the largest marketing group in the world, have come in and said, well, it's not good enough for men to say boys will be boys. Mm. We've got to have a social conscience. So they've taken their long-standing positioning statement, the best a man can get, to become the best a man can be, and that's really saying this is what you should be, and I don't think that's the role of any marketing organization, radio stations included.
Well, yeah, see, I saw the ad. I didn't mind it. I saw the message. It was all about promoting it for the next generation, behaving ourselves in front of them so they can obviously be a better version of a man in the future. I didn't have an issue with it, but I can understand why some people would, especially when it comes from essentially a brand telling you how to behave.
Well, it's interesting. The best response that they've had, the most valuable response they've had are people, males over 40 years of age, because they've taken a great umbrage at the phrase that they've used, toxic masculinity. Mm. Now, let's put that into perspective. In the year 2017, the Oxford Dictionary word of the year was toxic. Now, toxic masculinity is saying, well, hold on, that's really about men and men being men. Well, hold on. How far do you go with Gillette? Because at the moment, they're featuring Pat Cummings. Now, this is Cummings and goings of Gillette and, you know, saying, well, hold on, where do we take it from here? You know, it doesn't take much with the word of the year being toxic to go to one of the five words that were the final choice before it came out as Me Too with the, you know, the Macquarie Dictionary this year, which was a phrase that they used, and it was a phrase rather than a word, and pardon my French, but here's what the wordage was, big dick energy.
Wow.
Now, does Gillette go to the next step and say, men, you need Brazilians and you need a Gillette because you're all about big dick energy? I don't think it's going to resonate with the public.
No, I don't think so at all. No. Is this going to hurt? I've already seen a lot of trending of boycott Gillette, boycott all those brands. Do you think it's really going to hurt them, or do you think it's going to be good because we're talking about them right now?
Well, I think it's going to talk about it. It'll be all over in about 3 weeks' time. But the interesting thing is they're taking it as a lesson to be replicating what Nike did with Colin Bastinick. Now, he was the NFL footballer. He was a San Francisco 49er who would not take the national anthem in America before the football games. He would not stand up. He went down on the knee as a protest against the behavior of governments and a lot of bureaucrats and that sort of thing towards African-American people. Interestingly enough, Nike has supported him when they've said, believe in something, even if it means sacrificing everything.
Hmm.
Now, interestingly enough, Colin hasn't played a football match in over 3 years, but his ambassadorship fee each year from Nike is $20 million a year. So he
Whoa.
Doesn't need to play football to have a money. Nike featured it in the advertising. Worldwide, Nike sales went up, but interestingly enough, in the target audience in the United States of America, it went flat and slightly down. So the message for anyone listening to this in the southwest of Western Australia, if your footprint doesn't go global, if you're trying to just capture the local marketplace and satisfy them, be very careful in sitting on judgment and expressing social values and opinions in judgment of what people should be doing, because you could lose that marketplace very, very quickly.
Yeah, there you go. You shave off some of that revenue. See what I did there?
Well, there you are, and you're coming back to Gillette. and it's a shave that is just a little bit tight, so you don't even want a number one haircut.
No. Barry, thank you so much for that, mate. Thank you.
Alan, I look forward to speaking to you next week.
And I've been searching through the internet trying to find some of the more fun stories this morning, and this is a pretty good one. This one is going viral right across the world. It's an Australian story, and like most Australian stories, it involves an animal. This is great. This woman went to the Olympics. She was actually part of the Australian Olympic media team, and because she was part of that team, she got to collect a little bit of Olympic memorabilia. Now, one of those items was stolen from her place. I am talking about her 2016 Rio Games pair of thongs. They are very important to her. The reason why it's making news, but, is because they were stolen when she left them at the front of her house by an animal, it being Australia. I'll let you have a second to think about what animal it could possibly be. Was it a koala? Was it a kangaroo? Was it a kookaburra? No, it's best I let Sweet sum it up. Fox on the run, you're screaming everybody. The most brazen fox you've ever seen in your life. The footage is hilarious. It walks up and just takes the thong, like just collects it and just slowly walks off like it's a meal or something. Of course, the fox was nice about it, left her a little treat, a dead rat on her doorstep, and then stole the thongs. Plenty more going on. Sorry, that's my phone then. Just, what's this? Oh, another text from Clyde Palmer. Fantastic. And this is an interesting study that has come from a very prestigious Japanese university. They have studied over 1,200 penises to find this. I don't know who signs up to want to do that, but anyway, someone has. And their findings have found that the more showers you have, the more likely that is to shrink your manhood. This is 100% real. According to the study, it says that Japanese men are the cleanest in the world. However, due to that, they have a bit of shrinkage in that area. A couple of reasons for it. The friction has caused a certain amount of erosion in that area. The excessive hydration sometimes happens, I'm quoting here, that excessively clean men have completely lost his testicles. How vigorous is the cleaning that's going on? Although he did say that that doesn't happen very often, but can you imagine cleaning that often that you lose? No, that's not good at all. That's a terrible study. Terrible findings. If you're a guy listening right now and you're freaking out, maybe just, I don't know, one shower a day, just kind of cut it back. Maybe not the 18 or whatever these guys have been having, but yeah, one shower I think should be pretty much right. Chef's Long Table Lunch is coming up in Bunbury on the 24th of February. It's always on the last Sunday in February. Great, great fundraiser. And to chat to me right now is some of the entertainment. Aaron joins me now from Melbourne from the band Vanderbilt. How are you, mate?
Hello. I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm well. First of all, cool gig.
I know, right? Just first time over to WA, so we're stoked.
Are you going to try and squeeze in a few more gigs as well while you're here?
Yeah, look, a part of what we're doing is a 10-month tour, so we've got a whole stretch of shows all down the bottom of WA, and we're doing the whole West Coast up north back to our hometown in the Northern Territory.
So nice and busy then.
Yeah. Well, we haven't been yet. So, you know, we've been mainly been focusing on the East Coast and we've been wanting to do it. But, you know, because it's so far away, we've been traveling in our van and that. So to kind of go over, you got to commit. So we're like, all right, let's do it. Let's do a 10-month trip and we're going to make the most of it. So we're excited to come over and see what it's all about. We've heard a lot of good things.
What type of music do you play while people are enjoying a long table lunch? I'm curious.
Yeah, totally. Well, look, we're going to do a bit of a blend. So we'll obviously throw some cover stuff in there as well. But our original music is like tribally indie roots stuff.
Yeah,
so
cool.
when I say tribal, I play didgeridoo and my brother plays djembe as well. So then we just kind of do our own mesh of cover songs as well. At the end of the day, we just like to have a lot of fun and bring a lot of energy so people are up dancing, having a good time.
Yeah, and that's exactly. I was at the long table everyone was up dancing towards the end of it. So you're going to have no problem with that. The wines will be a flowing.
Amazing. So we're the perfect match then.
Yeah, I think so too, mate. Oh, well, that's awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys. So you perform with your brother. What's that like?
Look, I love it. I think it either goes two ways. You either get on with your siblings or you don't. And yeah. My brother and I, we have a great relationship, and we've been traveling and touring for the last 7 years since we left our hometown, Darwin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been nothing but an awesome ride. Hey, like, I mean, obviously you have your ups and your downs all along the way, but we've got each other's back. So it's definitely more beneficial to have a travel buddy than not.
Yeah, okay, cool. And obviously this big, massive 10-month tour, does that come with a brand new album or anything like that?
Lots of new music. We're just about to release a new single called Southern Cross.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this tour is called the Southern Cross Tour. And for me, I feel like this song is probably the best representation of our style and our sound. So it's got a bit of it's got a lot of didgeridoo in it. It's got a didgeribone. I don't know if you've heard of one of them.
No.
Before.
What's that?
That's like, imagine a didgeridoo cross trombone.
Uh-huh.
And you can change the pitch. So it's actually just imagine a pipe that you can make shorter and longer.
Yeah, so, okay. That's
yeah,
pretty
it's
cool.
Kind of one of those things you got to hear to understand what it's like, but just imagine a didgeridoo that can change pitch.
Yeah, that's really, really cool.
And it's just got one of those hooks in it that by the second or third chorus, people are always singing along at our live shows. So
yeah, wow. All right, well, it's all happening for you, and people can check you out, obviously, at the Bunbury Long Table Lunch, and also online as well, Vanderaar, that's with two A's at the end, band.com. Thanks for the chat, mate.
Oh, mate, absolute pleasure. We're so keen to come over.
Absolutely. Aaron there. And for the Chef's Long Table, go to the website, chefslongtable.com. Going to be on the 24th of February. Very, very popular event and a great fundraiser. Doing a lot of good.